with 2 Timothy chapter 3. Man, that song. I listened to y'all's version and not the other one now. And I'm torn in between Wednesday's messages and this morning's message. And ask myself this question, is he enough? Is he enough? If he's enough, then we don't have to go into debt to try and find pleasure. If he's enough, then we can be thankful and give him thanksgiving. Amen? 2 Timothy 3, I needed a verse because it's a topic. I don't normally preach topical messages, but this morning is a topical message, so I needed a passage of Scripture. And so I found myself, as I was asking myself questions this week, I found myself finding the answers for it, I guess I could say, in Scripture. Honestly, this morning, if I can say this, I just want to share a simple thought with you. Just a simple thought. I can smell the food already, and food in a Baptist church. You're not going to pay attention. You're just not. And I know that. I know that. I've embraced that. Some of y'all are trying to, you're already there. You're already there in the front line and getting your food. So let me just get to my thought this morning. So I do want to just give a simple thought this morning. Got plenty of time. Back in the day when they went to church, they didn't have clocks. And so since it's old-fashioned day, Ryan, we're not using... Oh, wait, let me get rid of that. They didn't have them either back in the day, did they? No, seriously, though. Oh, boy, y'all are a train wreck. Listen, Dan, if it wasn't for Miss Valerie being with you this morning, I'd begin to wonder. The only way I know you even resemble a pilgrim is because of Miss Valerie. And please, Miss Valerie, please stay as close to him as possible. Because if he don't look like the Nutcracker I'm just glad he didn't show up in leotards or something as well. Amen. Amen. Oh, is that right? He looks adorable. I appreciate that adjective being used. Adorable, yeah. The pilgrims looked adorable, didn't they? Oh, my goodness. Stop. Just stop. And so I just want to give a simple thought this morning. Enjoy a nice meal with everyone. I said before, the bulk of my holidays after I got saved were around other people in church. That's the family that I had. So I want to enjoy a nice meal with everyone, fellowship a bit. Let's not just stay at our own tables. Can I say that? I know that bothers some people when I say it. But there's other people you can fellowship with and get around, and they need your fellowship. And so I want to fellowship a little bit. And then I want to go home. And I want to sleep until spring. Rip Van Winkle, if anybody's familiar with him. I'm not bracing for the weather. So just bear with me. I'm trying to work out something with Joe and Pastor West in Florida right now. So just bear with me. I will keep it honest with you. If it happens, you'll be the first to know. All right? Sam, you okay? All right. I had considered this morning continuing my thoughts in series on prayer. I didn't want to, I guess I could say, I didn't want to divert from that yet again. But as I thought and prayed about that and just searched Scripture regarding the word thanksgiving, the Bible is its own dictionary. If God created language, and we're concerned about language, we could just go to Scripture and find out. If you're one of those ones following, I hope you're not, our Yardbirds that are on the internet trying to take away God's Word by redefining it and calling many of the words in the Bible false friends, they're not false friends. God created language. I don't know if we realize that some days. And when we weren't doing what he wanted us to do, he confounded that language. And then when he came and showed himself to us and communicated to us, then he unconfounded that language at Pentecost. And we were supposed to get the language out to everybody else. And what is that language? That God is love. That he would transcend everything and come and share that with us. So I looked up the word thanksgiving. I noticed something regarding it as I was studying. Thanksgiving digresses. Now, mind you, many of us will probably hear that word and we're thinking, we're not thinking Dan. We're thinking more Valerie. But we hear that word thanksgiving and we immediately think of the pilgrims and everything like that. No, the pilgrims were just a swing off of the word because they were thankful. You can pretty much go to several countries. I know we harp on colonization, and it has been horrendous. But several places, I lived in South Africa for 10 years. And in South Africa, the Dutch Reformed Church was trying to spread its talons into so many other places. But there was a small group of people that were Christians that left and settled in South Africa, and they have a holiday for that they settled in South Africa. They were fleeing the oppression of religion and trying to find a path. And I was interested when I studied that how several countries had that. They were fleeing the tyranny of the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church and so many of the churches that were more concerned with who was going to be the representation of religion. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, I could mention cultures this morning, and you see a culture, you see a religion with it. Christianity doesn't have a culture. It transcends all that. It's black and white. It's Jew and Gentile. It's bond and free. It's male and female. Jesus unites, although those other ones divided. And so when I say the word thanksgiving this morning, you may think of the pilgrims. That was just one representation of people fleeing bondage, religious bondage, trying to find religious freedom. And so I want to try and give you another term this morning. Not another term, but define the term, and that is thanksgiving. I noticed something as I studied that. Thanksgiving digresses in Scripture. Thanksgiving doesn't progress in Scripture. Thanksgiving digresses in Scripture and deviates from Scripture the further people get away from God. To the point that Paul writes to a young Timothy who was a pastor of a church at Ephesus, and not just highlighting, watch this now, Paul wrote to him not to just highlight the lost. He highlighted as well that people in the church would even do it. He's writing to a pastor of a church. Here's what he says, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. He said, this know also, amongst all the other things that he shared with Timothy, he said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now listen to how he described perilous times. It wasn't gas prices. It wasn't who was in the White House. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And aren't we there now? Isn't that the definition of today? Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous. That goes into our Wednesday night study. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And then he has this word in here, unthankful. And it's just before this one, unholy. They're synonymous with one another. When you're unholy and you don't understand your purpose and who you are and how you came about, you didn't come from a pool of ooze when two planets smashed together. You came from God. God wanted us. He created us to be holy. And we're thankful for that. They go hand in hand with each other. Verse 3, he says, without natural affection. Boy, isn't that today. Truce breakers, that's why we've got to have documents this deep. Because a man's word isn't his word anymore. False accusers, we've seen that, haven't we? Just discussed that Wednesday. Incontinent. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I don't know where I was at the other day talking. Who's that guy they made a movie after that was saved, that was a prisoner in Japan? What was his name? Huh? Unbroken or something like that? Yeah, and you trace back. There used to be a time when they'd put up tents in Los Angeles and you couldn't even find a seat. There would be times when a Presbyterian, if you will, Billy Sunday would come to a town and preach. And all the baser sorts in the town would shut down. Try and find that today. The only time you're going to get that many people together is when they're having a Hillsong concert. And the whole attention is more on themselves, really, than God. He says they're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Could we do some research today on church attendance in the last 10, 15, 20, 40 years? Says this, they'll have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. Why did he want us to turn away from them? Because one unthankful person's evil communication will infect somebody else's unthankful communication. I don't know about you, but I've noticed drastically that people by and large are just not thankful anymore. Libby and I were shopping yesterday and we had this conversation. When it's a mess out there, isn't it? It's just a mess when you do anything nowadays. People are so just, it's like a ticking time bomb. And I just told her, I said, just be nice. Just smile, be sweet, say thank you. And when you do, it's amazing how quick people can just, they just draw their attention to you and it's like, oh, I didn't expect somebody to be that way towards me. It's a dog-eat-dog world anymore, isn't it? It's just everybody's fighting for survival anymore. And so I don't know about you, but I've noticed drastically that people, by and large, are just not thankful anymore. Hold the door for somebody. They look at you like you got a problem. I've mentioned it often through the years concerning this season that we're in, that our society just skips over what we as a country at one time celebrated, and that's Thanksgiving. We just skip over it anymore. Even as a child growing up in a lost person's home, Thanksgiving, the meal, the time, and the spirit would be different, at least during that time of year in the home that I grew up in. Lib, myself, and Gene the other day were coming home from church. I believe it was Wednesday. And we were heading home, and I noticed several people over by us where we live had their Christmas lights up already. And they were on. Uh-oh, now I'm meddling, aren't I? Just by a show of hands. I usually just say by a show of hearts. Just by a show of hands, how many have their Christmas lights up already? Oh, you guys are going to have to buckle up this morning. Because I'm coming for you, Andrew. But I noticed that they had their lights up. I made the statement that I often do. When I was a little boy, you couldn't put up Christmas decorations until the Thanksgiving Macy Day parade was over. And the Thanksgiving Macy, for you young people, do they still have that parade?
Yes.
Do they still do it the same way?
Yes.
Is he on the ride at the end?
Yes.
That was the official statement that you as a person could put decorations up in your house because Santa Claus rode the float at the end. Isn't it weird how we did things? Now the whole season in essence is just eliminated and Halloween and Christmas are blurred together. That makes me scratch my head when you think of those two holidays. And so as I have noticed it in society, I must say I've noticed it in church as well. People by and large are just not thankful anymore. As a pastor, I've found that people expect more. They want more. They require more. But most days never say thank you when you do. I've noticed as well that worship has changed over the years. And worship is birthed out of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. Really, if we think about this season, I'm not chastising anybody when I say this because I wasn't there myself. I was in my pew. What better time and what better song this morning than to be at the altar? When you listen to the words of that, you have to ask yourself, has he been enough? I mean, that's what they were singing this morning. He's been enough. That's, we come to church to recognize the fact that he's been enough. We don't want to forget him. We don't want to get sidetracked by hunting season and Black Friday sales and sports events and everything like that. I mean, we're trying now to merge. How many churches merge the Super Bowl with their Sunday night services? Because they're saying, can you imagine? I still can't get my head around it. So if you come to a church that doesn't do that, and you're still worshiping that, then you just don't come back to services. Because he's really not been enough. And so Paul was justly writing to Timothy and saying, it's not just what's out there. It's in the church. We're not thankful. And so as I was studying this week in light of today, I asked myself a question. And here's the question I ask myself. Whatever happened to Thanksgiving? And with that thought in mind, I want to preach a simple message concerning this thought. Whatever happened to Thanksgiving? What happened to it? Where did it go? Why did it disappear? Why aren't we celebrating it anymore? If you're a person that believes you can search the scriptures and find the answers to every question, then you'll soon realize that Thanksgiving was birthed in scripture. Each place that was thankful for God might have celebrated it a little differently. I mean, our country is, you know, it's got its tattered past. But there was this group that genuinely worshiped and God and said, let's have a place and a day that we take a moment in time to recognize it. Listen, the others don't mind doing that. They'll take whole months to celebrate pride. And you can't find pride being used in a good connotation anywhere in the Bible. So what happened to Thanksgiving? You'll soon as well realize that the reason for that was, or you'll soon realize what the reason for that was. Why did it disappear? I wanted to keep it simple this morning, so I just searched the word Thanksgiving. Here's what I found. And again, like most things, I could turn this into a study the more I researched as well regarding thankfulness. You ever been that parent that you get 1,400 gifts and you, I mean, it's just piled up and you take pictures of it and then your child just keeps tearing one wrapper off the next wrapper looking for the next present? We've festered this type of personality in our day and age of being ungrateful, unthankful. And so here's what I found. And again, like most things, I could turn it into a study as well regarding thankfulness. First, when searching the word in Scripture, you'll find it first used in Leviticus. That is the word thanksgiving. Five times in the book of Leviticus, we find this word being used, and that is thanksgiving. Let me read these for you real quick. I thought it was interesting. Five means grace in the Bible. At least I feel like that. I know others have said it means death, but I'm of the persuasion that the number, if you study numbers in the Bible, God wrote a book called Numbers. Numbers are important. Five means grace. Leviticus 7 and verse 12, I find it interesting that you start finding it in the book of Leviticus. Says this in verse 12, if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. There we go, fried food. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Verse 15, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. Leviticus 22 and verse 29 is the fifth reference we find in Scripture. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. And so the first thing or answer that I came to the conclusion on what happened to Thanksgiving, we see the reason for Thanksgiving. We see the reason for Thanksgiving. What's the reason? There's so much I could expound upon regarding these passages, but in essence, God is instructing them after He has rescued and redeemed them out of Egypt. And we have the Levitical priesthood because they're the ones that stepped forward and realized what they had done at the when they made the golden calf and they were trying to worship something. They step out, God establishes a priesthood, and now we have the Levites, and they're telling us why and what they're doing. They're offering something, but why are they offering it? They're offering thanksgiving, and we see a sacrifice, so we begin to see the establishment of the reason for thanksgiving. God is instructing them, as I said, after he has rescued them and redeemed them out of Egypt. He's performed countless miracles, and he has demonstrated his love, his care, and his concern for them. Now it's up to them to recognize this and thus understand the reason for their thanksgiving. See, the reason people don't thank God anymore is because they've forgotten what he's done for them. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. See, we don't really believe he's created us in his image. And I mean, I could go on a study about this, how far we've come removed from this. You didn't get here just by yourself. I know a lot of people think, well, we evolved. Well, I keep looking for that one that's coming out of the woodline. Because, I mean, they still have them, and we still have us. And it's already been proven that all those skulls that are in Australia and in the research industries were Aborigine people from Australia. They've already debunked the whole thing in our search, or any people's search, to try and think we figured this out on our own and God didn't create us. And so these folks realized what God had done, and they understood the reason for that thanksgiving. Can I just cut to the chase and say what happened to Thanksgiving? Folks have lost, forgotten, and forsaken the reason to be thankful. There's no reason to be thankful if you feel you've done it all yourself. Or because you've made yourself the God of your own little world. But if you truly realize and understand that God redeemed you out of the hand of the enemy, then you won't forget it, and you'll render unto him thanksgiving. You'll be thankful for it because you'll realize where you came from. You'll realize how bad you were. You'll realize how far away. You'll realize that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 26 and verse 1. It's a psalm of David. David said this, "Judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide." He said, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord." Can I tell you statistically how much church attendances went down? Can I just show you from our inception as people that fled religious oppression to different countries and tried to establish God there, how far we've come from that to where it's a forethought now, if it's even a thought. Because we've lost the reason. for Thanksgiving, which leads us to the next. When we as people search, let me ask you this before I do. I normally do this. Could you stand up this morning if I asked you and give a biblical articulation of why you're in church this morning? Or is it just a routine? Or is it just, well, people go to church on Sundays? I mean, literally get up and say, here's why I'm here, here's what I'm doing, and no matter if anybody else does it, this is the place that God has established for me to lift up my voice and give praise. Can you do that this morning? See, there's a lot of people, especially, and I'm not chastising anybody, just offer food at a church and watch how many people come. But offer God at church and watch how many people show up. We've lost, haven't we? What happened to Thanksgiving? I'll tell you what happened to Thanksgiving. We've lost the reason for Thanksgiving. Number two, when we as people search Scripture and truly understand the reason for Thanksgiving, then it will only stand to reason, no pun intended. We will then render thanksgiving unto Him who deserves it. And as well, those that share Him with us and extend His graciousness to us. I've said this many times. Benevolence is not for somebody to say, oh, thank you for what you've done. No, benevolence is we're just a conduit. And that benevolence, when given to somebody, should draw that person not to the person who gave it, but to the person who gave it on behalf of the one who really gave it. Right. It should draw them closer to God. Our country has a system here. They have a system because the church has failed. So now who do you think the people are drawn to, government or God? So they just keep going to government. They'll cross borders to come somewhere to get all kinds of money. Money, 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 because they don't know how to render thankfulness to the one who really provided it. Listen to what the psalmist said regarding this, Psalm 100. It's another psalm of praise. David says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We provided that opportunity. Jacob tried to lead us in that opportunity to sing and be thankful to God for all that He's done for us. How many sang? He said in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We get to the place in church that we almost take on the characteristic that God ought to be happy I even showed up today. There's a lot of other things I could be doing. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. See, He's given the reason for His thanksgiving. His bonds were loosed. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people. What do you think His vows were? He picked me up also out of a horrible pit, and He put my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings, and He put a new song in my mouth, even praise. We're thankful. I remember what I said. Sitting in a patrol car. I don't look like much of a police officer, Brother Mike. Sitting in a patrol car, I said, God, if You'd just save me, I promise You I'd serve You for the rest of my life. If You'd take this weight off of my back, if You'd forgive me of my sins. I made a vow. There was an exchanging, if you will. I'm going to give You my life if You'll give me Your life. And a vow was made. But you know how many people have defaulted on the vow? Same amount of people that default on their loans and their debts and everything else. I said Wednesday, it's interesting that God uses a monetary term to talk about our sins. For the wages of sin is death. We owe a debt. He paid the debt. It goes back to the parable of the one that paid this exorbitant amount. His master paid this debt that was just humongous. And then as soon as he leaves from there, he's not thankful for it. He goes find somebody that owes him this much money and chokes him down. Where's Thanksgiving gone? We've lost the reason for Thanksgiving. We've lost the rendering for Thanksgiving. Psalm 116 and verse 19 says, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let me ask you this, we'll move on. What? No, we're 11:32. Somebody better text Linda. We're coming sooner than she's expecting us. Let me ask you this. Is that you this morning? Based upon what's already been said, did you render God thanksgiving? Was there a time? Watch this. We've even got to the point financially, and I'm on that, where we can't even give him a portion back of what's his. We rob him. We're so ungrateful. We can't even sit down to look at our finances and say, God, you gave me all of this. No, I earned this. This is mine. We come in and try and navigate. That's why so many people are in churches, pastors take churches into debt just to pay for something to keep the process going. You think this happens on its own? And it's a place for us to come and render unto God what's God's. Giving, this that we do, we call people up, ushers are coming forward. It's an opportunity for us not to just sing, but sacrifice what we have and give it back to him. Let me see how much worship that is nowadays. Is that you this morning? Did you come and do you come to the assembly and render unto God thanksgiving? When you answer that question, it will also answer the question, whatever happened to thanksgiving? Number one, we see the reason for thanksgiving. Number two, we see the rendering of thanksgiving, which brings us to the last. I said, remember this, it doesn't progress. It digresses. Read Scripture. Adam and Eve are worshiping God, man. And then all of a sudden it just got skewed. And Cain's killing Abel, and it just digressed from there. And then you see moments, and then you see him go back again. Then you see moments, and you see him go back again. And here he is. He's coming. Watch this now. He comes into Jerusalem scripturally correct. All you had to do is search the Scriptures. Simeon understood it. Everything comes in, riding on the colt, and they're doing what? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're worshiping. Can I say this? The same people that were just laying down palms and worshiping God are the same ones that are saying, crucify Jesus and give us Barabbas. Because why? Because they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. They thought they were going to get a king. See, if you are scripturally educated, you'll understand that he's coming. But he ain't coming on my time scale. He's coming on his time scale. And he's making sure that as many people that can come will come. And even in the last statements of the book of Revelation, he says, and the Spirit, that's Christ, and the bride say, come. The bride's given up on saying come anymore because she's too busy. She's asleep already, Solomon said. Song of Solomon said she's already clean, she's washed, she's perfumed, she's laying down. She's completely forgot. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We see lastly the refusal of thanksgiving. We see the reason for thanksgiving. We see the rendering of thanksgiving. But now we've gotten so far away from God, we've seen a refusal of thanksgiving. See, this thing called thanksgiving is digressive. It's not progressive. When we don't know the reason for thanksgiving, and we then do not render thanksgiving unto him, then it will soon turn into a refusal. Why should we? And see, we're not known as a country anymore for God. 200 and some odd, what is close to, I don't even know the number now, I should. Don't know it right offhand. One of the youngest countries in the world. Yes, she's had her problems, don't we all? Yes, she's done things that she shouldn't have done. Haven't we all? But God still shed his grace on her and showed what people can do if they render unto God and they give a reason for their thankfulness. Listen, we are not a systemic problem in America. There is still a glimmer of hope. That's why so many people still want to come here. But they're coming here for government. And we need to show them they should come for God. And then we should go somewhere else to show them that. Missionaries on these walls go somewhere else, and you know what they teach people? The reason to be thankful. They tell them, they show them and demonstrate to them the rendering of thankfulness. And then it's their decision whether they accept it or refuse it. Here it is in a nutshell. What happened to Thanksgiving? We've lost our reason. Why do I need to be thankful? God's not done nothing for me. Tell me people don't feel that way. God's done nothing for me. And it's a rebuke when they say it to God. But I'm going to tell you what, it's an insult when we do it. If you're saved in here this morning, it's an insult to come to church and not worship God with your time, with your talent, and with your treasure. Because you are in essence saying to Him, and there's where I struggle as a pastor. Because I've said before, I'm Chuck Woolery. I'm just trying to get folks to make a love connection. God can pinch your little trachea just like that, and you quit breathing. Let everything that hath praise the Lord. And we can sit in church sometimes and look like, who spit in my cornflakes? So-and-so hurt my feelings. I shook so-and-so's hand in the foyer the other day, and you didn't give me the proper attention. It's not my responsibility to give you the proper attention. That's God's job. I'm just in this thing with you. And we can come to church and literally, Miss Alicia, have to be squeezed. Anybody got a testimony? It's sad. I remember a time when you didn't even have to ask people in church for a testimony. They came to church, Brother Mike, and they were so excited about the song service and something spoke to their heart, and they were reading in their devotions that morning or something took place in their life that day, and they were just bubbling over when they got to church because now we're assembled together, and I'm so thankful for what God did for me. And God, preacher, if you don't mind, could I? No, we don't want to hear about that in church. No, you've got to stand up here now and beg people. Is there something? In all that God's done, you're being too sarcastic. No, I'm being too realistic. What did you put on the sign out there? In a day when people are counting money, counting calories, and counting steps, how about we count our blessings? Yeah. And name them one by one. What happened to Thanksgiving? We lost our reason. What happened to Thanksgiving? We left our rendering. Jesus comes and He rebukes the Israelites. He rebukes Jerusalem. He rebukes the Jews there that day. He said they were the ones that were supposed to give Him praise. He says, if you won't do it, He says, I can get the rocks to cry out and do it. You know what I'm noticing now? The more I get acquainted with the scriptures and realize that God created everything, there's a picture in the seasons that we have. Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. Right now we're going into a season of death. That's why I can't stand Ohio. Buddy, can I get an amen there? And watch this now. We're going into a season of death, but all of a sudden now springtime comes around and death is resurrected, and you start seeing them little, man, I'll tell you what, at my house I put them, is it tulips? Huh? That's South Carolina. See, you're trying to bother me right now, ain't you? We don't have azaleas up here. That's where I come from. It's the tulips, right? And you'll start seeing them start sprouting out, and then I've got pictures where the snow will come in, and it's like, oh, man, I still got to deal with this death. But there's hope, and then there's a resurrection. Trees worship God. Animals worship God. Everything in nature that He created worships God. Except us. I mean, honestly, are you pleased with or do you have to be taught how to worship Him? If I can look in the Bible for Thanksgiving, can't we look in the Bible for worship? Now it's a cheap copy. It's Hillsong, it's rock concerts, it's everything else. It's this emotional high. Whew. Wasn't it wonderful today? And then go home and live like the devil. We've lost our reason. We've left our rendering, which led to the last. We've loved our refusal. Let me read this and I'm done. I know it's here somewhere. Thank you, Miss Laura. We've loved our refusal. 1 Timothy 4, pastor of a church, missionary, writes the pastor. The pastor's pastoring people that have what? Lost their reason, left their rendering, and in essence loved their refusal. He says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, some, not all, not everyone here is guilty of the refusal. There's some. It says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Now, if you're sitting in here this morning, you're saying, you know, Pastor's right. I don't. There's a lot of things I could stand up on a testimony service and thank the Lord for. I just feel like somebody's going to say something. Who are you giving it for? Who are you giving it to? It shouldn't matter. Pastor can navigate that. Who knows? It might just break out into a Thanksgiving service where people just, by and large, lift up their voice and say, and then we just keep going. But if you're just worried about time, well, if I give a Thanksgiving and then he's still got to preach, and then, hey, I'm just going to, you refuse. Isn't he owed it? Isn't he worthy of it? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. If you're in here this morning and you feel like, you know, I ought to be more, there's still hope. There's still hope. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received, watch this, with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Gotten to the place where it's, I mean, we joke about this, go to a restaurant, got to ask each other, you pre-chip or post-chip? Do you pray before you eat the first chip, or do you pray after you eat the first chip? Is a PBJ at lunch with a glass of milk? Do I need to really pray over that? See, when you start realizing that everything you possess and everything that you have, to include your health, wealth, prosperity, breath, and everything comes from God, then there should be more times in the day that we thank Him for it. And sometimes it ought to be nice to just go to Him, I'm sure. I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent. It's nice sometimes to just somebody say to you, I appreciate you, without having to give them a lollipop or something else. I'm sure God feels the same way. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou, watch this now, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. You know what my responsibility was this morning? If I understand the reason, and I render, and I refuse to give thanksgiving, I render it to Him, then I ought to be a good minister and what? Put you into remembrance of it as well. See, we as Christians are supposed to swim against the stream. And we see it all throughout Scripture. There's too many of us nowadays, too many men especially, that just swim with the current. Everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do it. Instead of standing up and teaching your family the reason for Thanksgiving, the rendering of Thanksgiving, and why people are refusing it. We ought not to be that place today. We ought not to be that place as a people, and we ought not to be as parents, and so on and so forth. Make a decision today to say, you know what? I'm going to swim against the current, and I'm going to give God thanksgiving. Emily, we're going to try this again, and Sam are going to come. And here's the invitation. And ask yourself this question. Has He been enough? Is he enough? I'll tell you why society, I'm going to say this Wednesday night or Tuesday night. I was studying this week. You know why, by and large, so many people, not us, I almost said us, that's not the right pronoun. You know why so many people get in debt? Because they buy recognition. They're purchasing, Brother Mike, recognition. We used to say this, we buy things we can't afford with money we don't have to impress people we can't stand. I see that, but here's what it really is. We purchase for recognition. Do I need a BMW? Somebody's going to have, I hope nobody has a BMW in here. And then that's going through my head. Here we go. I pulled off of 8 the other day. This is Rust Belt. This is a cesspool of a state. Anyways. Because I used to just, you know how old my vehicle was? And all I had to do is replace the motor. You can't get 6 years without the thing bubbling up with rust. I get off the interstate the other day, and I went to take Liberty. And I turn off the Interstate 8, whatever, 77 North, whatever. And I see this, the bird, Rolls Royce, on this car. And I looked and I said, Rolls Royce? And it's this SUV Rolls Royce. Anybody heard of these things? Cavalier or something like that? He said that. You pointed right to him real quick. You've seen that Rolls Royce SUV? But you've heard of it. I just Googled real quick because, you know, you ask the Google. Just base model. Does anybody want to take a guess? Huh? No. No. Ooh, you're close, bro. You've been looking for one? $599,000. I said to Libby, I said, who in the world would want to buy one of them and live in Ohio with it? That's a Florida, that's a South Carolina car right there. But you know what they're doing? It's recognition. The lady that gets the purse. You ever seen them? I don't even know what the names are for them. And they make sure it's second nature, Alicia, is it? Stop, Alicia. I'm going to do her instead of you. You did it. You set it up with that.
It's from TJ Maxx.
Oh. Well, you've got that solved. You ever seen these ladies? They put that thing on and they got that emblem. They got the emblem sticking out. Give me some names. Huh? Coach. Back in Libby's day, it was, give me some names. I didn't know you wore purses. Target. Does anybody remember back in the day the Dooney Burke? Libby didn't get a Dooney Burke. She got a flea market Burke. Straight from the Orient. But you know what they're doing? They're buying recognition. I'm going to do that so somebody recognizes me. I'm going to go into debt to buy that so somebody recognizes me. Can I say how to fix that problem? Understand God already recognized you. And then you don't have to look for recognition in everybody else. And our younger generation is ate up with it nowadays. Nobody's recognizing me, so I'm going to buy everything I can so somebody will give me attention. And you have to get to a place where you ask yourself, is he really enough? Is he somebody that I can be thankful for, that he gives me attention, that he redeems me, he rescues me, he cares about me? And if he does that, then they don't have to have a national holiday for me to understand it. I just have to go to the place where he said I'm supposed to render it to, and that's church. Here's the invitation. Has he been enough? They'll sing that. Altars are open.